Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Old School Labs and Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding. We talk about the history of bodybuilding. And this week we got a very special interview with Mr. Franco Santoriello. And Franco, for those of you who followed bodybuilding in the 1980s and 90s, was one of the top bodybuilders. He was one of the top amateurs, and then he finally got his pro card at the 1989 MPC Nationals. But Franco just had some really great genetics. He had incredible symmetry, incredible thickness and size. And he was one of the favorite guys in the magazines for many, many years because people could not wait for this guy to turn pro because he had that pro-level physique. And he also had this incredible potential. So Franco has had quite a remarkable life. He talks about it in our interview where he got an early addiction to drugs with cocaine and then eventually heroin. And that kind of derailed his bodybuilding career after he turned professional. But we talk about his bodybuilding career here, starting when he was a teenager, competing against Eddie Robinson and Victor Terra and Sean Ray, and then eventually moving into the MPC amateur ranks where he competed in the USA and the Nationals. So we've got a really great interview coming up with Franco Santoriello. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this. Franco's got a great personality. I do want to mention right off the bat, we are brought to you by our sponsor, Old School Labs. Now, I've been with Old School Labs for several years now. This is the supplement company that draws on the wisdom of the golden era of fitness and bodybuilding to offer unique supplements for the discerning athlete. I'm talking no proprietary blends, no artificial flavors or sweeteners. You may have heard of their award-winning fat burner called Vintage Burn, which is the world's first muscle-preserving fat burner, or Vintage Blast, which is the world's first two-stage pre-workout. Old School Labs is the only brand that I use, trust, and associate my name with. They're the brand I used to win the Natural Mr. Universe in the Masters division in 2012. They're also the company that sponsors Breon Ansley, who is the current Classic Physique Olympia champion, 2 years now, 2017 and 2018. And Breon is also the 2018 Classic Physique Arnold Classic champion. And they also sponsor 1983 Mr. Olympia Samir Benoot, as well as bodybuilding legend Tom Platz. So use the discount code LEGENDS12 when you go to oldschoollabs.com and they will give you 12% off your order. Or you can go to amazon.com and make your order there. Old School Labs supplements that make sense. All right, we are running the show a little bit late this week because I got tied up with my photo shoot, which was Monday this week. And I shot with my good friend Rick Schaff, who lives out here in Tampa, Florida. So we went to the Powerhouse Gym Athletic Club in Tampa. And we did quite a long shoot. We did some video stuff. We did some photo stuff. And I was really training hard to peak for this photo shoot. And I think I looked better this week than I did last week. I was a little bit leaner. I went down to 195 was my weight in the morning before I ate. So that was leaner than last week, where I think I was maybe about 198. And I was hovering around 200 for a long time. So it's been pretty interesting. I'm trying some different stuff to try and peak. What I did this time was I did 2 days where I really increased my protein to like 270 grams. And I decreased my carbs to about 180. So I think that dried me out a little bit and that seemed to work. And then on the day before the photo shoot, I increased my carbs to 300 and I brought the protein down to 200. So just trying some different stuff to experiment and see what works and how my body reacts to it. Because, like I said before, I'm planning on competing again next year, probably in August. So I want to check this stuff out now while I'm doing these photo shoots and then experiment and then have it down for next year. And I'm even really looking forward to the off season. It's crazy how motivated I am after this photo shoot's over. I did go out and have a meal at a restaurant yesterday after the photo shoot was over. And cheated on some cookies, and I didn't even really have the craving for them. So I think I'm over my cravings for the cookies, which is awesome. So I think I'm ready for this off season. I think I'm just going to gain the weight slowly and put the size on and still stay lean. I really like how I look now. And we took some good pictures yesterday, and Got another photo shoot, one more, which will be in 2 more weeks, and that will be with criticalbench.com. So I am back on the diet today. I think those extra calories yesterday will really help my training for the next couple of weeks. I'll be able to train a little heavier, be a little fuller, and I'll try and really dry out again in 2 more weeks and get some great photos taken with criticalbench.com. And then the off season will officially start after that. So things are going good. I'm really happy with how the training's been going, and I will share those pictures with you guys on Facebook and Instagram when I get some of those pictures. I should get my pictures back from Tony Mitchell, which I shot with last week in Chicago. I should get those pictures back pretty soon also. So that is it, and we got Thanksgiving coming up in a couple of days. I hope you guys have a really good Thanksgiving if you're going to be celebrating with your family. I got to work that day, so I'll probably just go home and won't be able to go to the gym because it'll be closed because they close early that day. So I'll probably just go out and check out Creed 2, which opens up this week. That looks like a good movie. The original director of Creed, Ryan Coogler, who also directed Black Panther this year, he will not be directing, so I don't know how good the movie will be. But can't go wrong with Sylvester Stallone. Dolph Lundgren will be back in it. He'll be reprising his role as Ivan Drago. So I'm sure it's going to be a great movie. So I'm going to go check that out this week, probably on Thanksgiving. So I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving. That's about it with everything. Oh, the big news last week, the Nationals. I forgot to mention that. The NPC Nationals took place in Miami. And Hunter Labrada, Lee Labrada's son, was the overall winner. So congratulations to Hunter Labrada. We just did our interview with Lee about a month ago, and he was really excited about Hunter going in the show. And he was the favorite, of course. So he did win the super heavyweights and the overall. And now he is continuing the Labrada legacy. So it's pretty exciting. We got a generation of Labradas who is going to continue in the bodybuilding world. And he's obviously a much bigger guy than Lee was. He's bigger than his dad. Lee competed as a middleweight, and I believe he was about 5'6". Hunter looks to be about 5'10", and I'm not sure what he weighs, but he's a super heavyweight, so he's over 225 pounds and much, much bigger guy. But hopefully he can bring some of that posing back and some of the symmetry that his father made so famous. So it'll be interesting to see. So now we've got Lee Labrada's son, Hunter Labrada, is now in the pro ranks. And we've got Sergio Oliva Jr. in the pro ranks. And Zane Watson is competing in the 212 division. So that's Mike Watson's son. So it's pretty cool. We've got these new generation of bodybuilders from some of the legends of the sport. So that's exciting to see. I did get a couple emails about my interview with Steve Davis last week, which I really enjoyed. Steven Spryer emailed me. He said that was a great interview. Paul Thorpe sent me an email, and he said, John, thanks for a great podcast episode with Steve Davis. What an interesting and honest guy. I really liked his list of tips that he gave out, and it would be great if more guests did the same during their interviews. Like many, I took inspiration from his famous before and after picture as it was included in the original print of Arnold's Encyclopedia, a real old school golden era legend. All right. Thank you, Paul. I got an email from Matt Collinson, and Matt says, hey, John, I just want just one quick one to say how much I'm enjoying the Legends podcast. I saw the link to the Roy Duvall interview, and I'm currently listening to part two. It rekindles the enthusiasm I had back in the 80s and 90s. I remember seeing Roy and Bertel Fox guest pose together here in England back in 1989. Great stuff, and keep it up. All the best, Matt Collinson. All right, thank you, Matt. Thanks for listening to the show. Sounds like we got a new listener. Then on my Facebook page, I did get a few more comments about Steve's interview. Terry Strand said, Davis made a huge transformation back in the day, and now he is slim and svelte like Gronkowski and Gaida and Louis and Draper. Richard Perillo said, great interview, John, and Steve is one of my all-time favorites. Sergio Mochia said, Steve Davis was one of the first to show a striated tricep. Richard Baldwin said, another great interview of a classic bodybuilder, John. Scott Barron, a loyal listener to the show, said, I really enjoyed this interview, and I look forward to part two. Well, actually, there is no part two, but unless we interview Steve again. He said, since Steve Davis trained at Vince's gym for so many years and also trained at World's Gym on Main Street, I would enjoy hearing his analysis, comparing and contrasting the legendary personalities of both Vince Gironda and Joe Gold. I found the part of the interview where Steve talked about the late Robert Kennedy to be extremely moving and heartfelt. This interview was a major historical contribution to the sport of bodybuilding. All right. Thank you, Scott. Howard Christensen said, John, another great interview with Steve. one of my favorites from the 70s, along with Richard, and tell him that it's Bruce Randall, not John Randall. He actually topped out at 401 pounds before he cut down to 175. Then he brought his weight up to 219 to win the Pro Mr. Universe in the NABBA division. Terry Strand is very familiar with Bruce. Yes, Howard is right. It is Bruce Randall, not John Randall. I did notice that mistake when Steve was talking, and I should have corrected him, but I did not. So that's my fault. But yeah, he's right to point that out. It's Bruce Randall, and Bruce was a NABBA Mr. Universe champion, and he was really one of the first guys, like Howard said, to show that transformation from bulked up to winning the Mr. Universe and being a Mr. Universe physique. So thank you to Steve for a great interview. That was really, really awesome. And thanks also, again, like I said before, to Richard Baldwin for setting that interview up. We also had some bad news in the world of comic books last week because Stan Lee, the originator of Marvel Comics, the guy who created Spider-Man and X-Men and Thor and all these Marvel comics that they're making so many movies of now, he passed away at the age of 95. So Stan Lee had a great long life, and he really created so many characters that have been with us for so many years. When I was a kid, I read all the Marvel comics, so he was a big part of my life. And it's just great that he got to see all these comics being in the movies. I was talking to my brother yesterday when I was in Chicago, and that's what he said. He said it's great that he got to live long enough to see the movie technology get to the point where they could make these superhero movies and they could bring these comic books to the screen. And Stan got to be a part of that and got to see all that. And of course, he did his cameos every film. So that was always cool. So rest in peace, Stan Lee. What a great person. He influenced a lot of people, and he made a lot of people's lives greater by creating all those great comic book heroes. All right, I do want to mention also, we are brought to you by our other sponsor, Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. They have a competitive pricing along with their quality products and services. So those are just a few reasons to give them a call. So check out their website at flalternativemeds.com. They have a brand new website that's very easy to navigate. Or you can call their office number in Tampa at 813-922-8939, and they will work with anybody in the continental United States. And just mention you heard their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and you will get a free consultation. Plus, you get 20% off of any order that you make. So check them out. FlAlternativeMeds.com is their website. And I want to thank Florida Alternative Meds and Old School Labs for sponsoring this episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And here is our interview with the great Franco Santoriello. You guys are really going to enjoy this. Here you go. All right, welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends show, and I have a very special guest this week. His name is Franco Santoriello, and Franco was one of the top amateur bodybuilders in the 1980s, and then he won the Nationals, and he turned pro in 1989. So, Franco, it's great to have you on the line.
It's my pleasure and privilege to be on the line with you today. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. I grew up watching you in the magazines, and you were one of the most impressive bodybuilders on the scene at both the amateur and professional level. So it would be great to talk to you about your career. I know you were born in New Jersey, right, Franco?
I was born in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And when I was a baby, my parents moved to New Albany, Indiana. So I was raised a Hoosier.
Oh, no kidding.
And I lived there till I was 15 years old. My mother, father got divorced.
Okay.
And my mother moved to New Jersey, so I moved to New Jersey. Actually, I stayed there for a year with a family, friends of mine. And then after about a year, I got homesick. So I got a plane, headed to New Jersey, and I spent the next, I would say, 20 years of my life in New Jersey up till I was 35, and then to Cincinnati.
Okay. Oh, great. I didn't know that. So what got you into bodybuilding, Franco?
Well, I'll tell you about that. I got into bodybuilding when I was younger, I was a very good football player, an exceptional football player. I probably, if I hadn't pursued a bodybuilding career, that I had enough talent, I think I might have made it to the NFL. I mean, I was very gifted, very fast on my feet, ran track, never got beat in a foot race. So at eighth grade, I started to, this is just my, who I guess the way the Lord geared me and wired me, that in eighth grade, I'm like, okay, what can I do to make myself better? Mm-hmm. I even read a book from Walter Payton that he took ballet. So I'm like, well, man, Walter Payton took ballet. Why can't I? So I took ballet eighth grade to help my bodybuilding. I mean, to help my football skills. And it did. It helped a lot. But then I also knew that I needed just some strength. So I started strength training. And finally, actually, I joined a gym in my town that I lived in. It was called Southern Indiana Health Center. Joined that gym, and I met up with this young man there. He was 18. I was 15. And he was going to do a bodybuilding show, and he tried to talk me into doing a bodybuilding show with him. I'm like, yo, dude, you know, I'm not going to put those little tiny shorts on and put oil on my body. I'm a football player, dude. I lift weights because I'm a football player.
Right.
Well, you know what? He nagged me and nagged me. And after enough of nagging, I said, all right, buddy, I'll go in the show with you. He didn't want to do it by himself. Well, there were 21 contestants in that show. It was called the Teenage Kentuckiana. It was Kentucky and Indiana combined. It was an AAU show back then.
Right.
There was 21 guys, and I was 15 years old. I was the youngest cat in the show. Mm-hmm. You know what? I took a second place.
Wow.
And I said to myself, wow, I think I like bodybuilding. Yeah. I put the pig skin down, and I picked up the barbells, and that was it. And, you know, at 15 years old, I said, you know what? I think I could go really far with this. And I had set my sights on winning Mr. Teenage USA. And at 17 years old, I won the Team USA and Team Nationals lightweight. Turned around the next year, came back and at 18 and 84, won the Team USA and Team Nationals overall title in both shows. I don't even know. I think I'm the only teenager to win four national titles in 2 years.
Yeah, I imagine. So what did your physique look like at 15, Franco? You had to be unbelievable.
Well, you know, at 15 years old, I didn't have a lot of mass, but I had really good symmetry.
Okay.
You know, because I mean, I remember competing at like probably 150 pounds, but I had really great symmetry. And if you know my physique as a pro, as I went on with my career, that's one thing I was known for, that really aesthetic look, that kind of statuistic look, that real great symmetry. That was one of the gifts that God gave me, tremendous symmetry. And that's what I had then. And then as my career went, you know, I started adding muscle to my physique and went up to middleweight. And then, and when I entered the men's, I went to the men's nationals. I think it was in 85 maybe, or 86. I went to middleweight class. I thought I was going to be a middleweight competitor, but once I went up to the men's level, my height, middleweight, I was just too tall.
Right.
I took a fourth place that year, and then I came back. Then I took a year off of training. You know, I'll tell you, one of my things in my career is, and I wrote a book. I don't know if you know, but I have a book out. I published a book.
No, I didn't
know. Yes, I published a book. Yeah, if you go to my website, I have a ministry now too. I'm an ordained minister.
Okay.
We'll talk about that more, but we'll go back to my career. But when I went in the men's, see, I was too tall as a middleweight. I took a fourth. I took a year off of training. This was kind of my MO during my career. I would work out for a year or two. Quit working out for a year. I mean, you know, I was on and off. I wasn't never really consistent, because I don't know if you know, but I had a severe drug problem.
No,
and
I didn't
that
know.
Got in the way of my physique. Yeah, a lot of people don't know a lot about me, but it's all in my book.
Okay.
It's all in my book. That's why, I mean, if you know my physique and you watch me in my career, you know, I was rising, and then it kind of just leveled off, and then I dropped. Well, I had the potential, and I think you could vouch for this. If I wasn't a drug addict, and I'll tell you, I'm going to be straight up and honest with you right now. People always ask me, did you do steroids? Well, of course I did steroids.
Yeah.
But you know what? I never did a lot of steroids. I did very tiny bit of steroids. Never touched GH. My physique was built on hard work. I'll tell you, you could ask John Perillo himself. I'm sure you know that name.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Perillo will tell you, and he'll tell anybody that asks him, that the person that he's seen that trained the hardest ever was Franco Santrell. I made sure that when I trained harder than anybody. And I do that in everything in my life. I work very hard at what I do. And I had incredible genetics. So my physique was built on genetics, hard work, and the Perillo principles. I never took Cybergenics, just to get that out there. People, the Cybergenics guy, that was nothing but a big lie. I think everybody knows that anyways. So my life, my career, you know, you as you probably know, I could have been, I should have been Mr. Olympia. I had that genetics to be that bodybuilder, to be Mr. Olympia. But that was really, in my heart, I know that was never my plan and for my future. Because if I had done that and I had done the amount of drugs that I needed to get to that level, I would probably be dead right now, like a lot of other bodybuilders that did those copious amounts of drugs. Because, you know, I mean, you don't know much about me, but my father died from, he died. I have heart disease. I had a heart attack at 44 years old.
Oh, really?
My heart probably couldn't have handled all those drugs. But that's okay, because the narcotics, that's why I didn't make it, because narcotics, I mean, during my career, I would train. I would take a year. It wasn't nothing for me to take a year or two off. In fact, before I became a pro, I had a two-year break. Didn't work out. That's how the Cybergenics got that before picture, because it was during my 2 year of not training. I was in the worst shape of my life. And in 2 years, I got my pro card. You know what I mean? I mean, that was just the genetics and the freakazoid stuff that I was. I mean, you know, I kind of say the narcotics almost, because that's why I never made it, because of the narcotics. Finally, my career had to take, it stopped, and then it just dropped, because I got addicted to heroin. And that was
the end
of my career.
Wow.
People don't know about me. And that's, I have an amazing story. I'm telling you, the book, I have a book, it's called Before and After.
Okay.
And I named it Before and After because the Cybergenics had that before and after thing going on with my transformation, the big lie, a lie that I turned my back on the truth, and the real truth behind my success was the engineering of John Perillo and my hard work. That's where how we got there. There was never a Cybergenics pill in my body ever. Okay, it was nothing but a. But you know what? When I saw money, I saw drugs. So I took the money and I turned my back on somebody I loved, and I had to live with that lie. And that lie hurt, and that was tough for me.
Yeah.
So, but when I named the book Before and After, and if you look at the cover of the book, it's got my mugshot. I don't know if you know this, but I spent 3 years in prison.
No, I didn't know that either.
See, you're finding out a whole lot about Franco, aren't you?
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
I just knew
story,
about your
bodybuilding
right?
career.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that was my life. So in 2014, I got arrested for drugs. Okay, I was doctor shopping, copious. I was going to different doctors and having them write me scripts. At the end of my life, right before I got locked up, I'll tell you this. I was unemployable, homeless, and suicidal. That was right before. Then I got locked up in the prison. But I named my book if you look at my book cover, at the top of the picture is my mugshot. And that was before Christ. And then at the end, it was a picture that was taken a year ago, and that's after Christ. It's a real before and after transformation. Real before and after transformation done by the living God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's today, I tell you, I'm an ordained minister. I have a ministry. It's a very powerful ministry, and we're really moving forward right now, where we go into prisons, rehabs. And I'm actually, one of the goals, like my audience that the Lord put in my heart to reach out to is, of course, addicts, because I was an addict.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is the incarcerated, because I was incarcerated. And that's where the Lord got a hold of me and changed me. And it's the fitness people, the people in the fitness world. So you'll be seeing Franco coming back to fitness events and bringing the gospel and the Jacked Up for Jesus ministry. That's the name of my ministry today, is Jacked Up for Jesus. And that kind of basically tells you, who I am. I'm all pumped up for Christ because, man, I tell you, I went from the lowest low. In fact, I'm going to send you my book when we get off the phone. You give me your address, I'll send it to you. And the book is all about my career. I mean, the first few chapters about my childhood and the brokenness and how the drugs got introduced to my life. And then the next few chapters, all about my bodybuilding career. So a bodybuilder will love the book because there's a lot of stories about all my competitions and how I made it, the big lie, Cybergenics. And then, you know, when we get to chapter 7, it starts getting to the real big mess of my life, the drugs, the heavy drug addiction. And I've done them all, bro. I did them all. And I've even been dead twice. Did you know that?
Jeez, no, I didn't. Wow.
Yeah,
amazing.
I've been dead two times. Two times I've been clinically dead. I was I died from a heroin overdose at 30 years old. I woke up in the trauma center in the Newark Hospital, and the doctor said to me, "You're lucky, son. We had to bring you back." And wow. Then I died at 44 years old from a heart attack. I had the Widowmaker heart attack. It has a 10% survival rate. I died. I was so dead that they were putting me into a body bag. That's how dead I was. So I've been dead two times.
Damn.
And then I've also been – people don't know this about Franco Santrello, and this is a story that we want to get out there. Because I was at the end of my life, I was one broke dude. I couldn't even get a job standing on a corner holding the sign because I couldn't stand up. I was so physically broken and such out of shape. I was 309 pounds with probably 140 pounds of muscle.
You were 309 pounds?
Yes, and I had no muscle because I hadn't worked out in 7 years.
Jeez,
my body was so, when I went to a grocery store, you know those little buggies they have to get around?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where I had to get in to get around the grocery store.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, I was that physical shape. So yeah, my life, the book tells the whole story. It's a pretty cool word. It's a pretty cool read.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, Franco, let me back you up to the beginning of your career when you started entering those teenage shows, because like you said, you won four national teenage shows in 2 years. You won the Teen USA twice, your class, and then you won the Teen Nationals. So tell me about the first one you went in, the Teen USA, which you won in as a lightweight, and that was back in 1983. Victor Terra was the overall winner, right?
Who was?
Victor Terra. He was the middleweight.
Yes, Victor Terra. Yeah. He won the overall that year, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a great bodybuilder. So, yeah, I mean, as a teenage, I did the Teenage Kentuckiana. Then I went on to win the Teenage Kentucky. Then when I moved to New Jersey, I went on to win the Teenage New Jersey.
Okay.
And then I set my sights. I said, okay, I want to go in the Teenage USA.
Okay.
Coming up, it was coming around. I was a lightweight. So I said, okay, I'm going to do this show. And I went out to the show. And I actually had my uncle sponsor me because, you know, I was down in Georgia. I lived in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I went down to that show and I won my weight class. And I met a gentleman there. Actually, I had met a gentleman. The reason why I really got pumped up about the show is I met a gentleman. He actually, Mr. Luzewick, you know that name?
Sure. Yeah, Luzewick from California.
Okay. Yep. Luzewick, we met before the Teen USA. He was, at that time, he was just getting started. He was scouting out talent.
Mm-hmm.
We met in a diner. And I told him I wanted to go into the Teen USA. And he said, he looked at me. He goes, well, you know, you're probably going to get smoked. And I'm like, what? You know what I mean? He just pissed me off because
right.
He said I wasn't big enough.
Yeah.
He just pissed me off. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go in it and I'm going to win it. You know, and the funny thing was Mr. Zwick, he kept in touch with me as I was training for the show. And of course, they were there. The Zwick team was there with the cameras. He was running the video stuff back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I won the Teen USA, and that was my thing. I was going to do the USA and go home, and that was it for me. But Mr. Zwick said, hey, well, how would you like to come out to California next week and go in the Teen Nationals? I'm like, yeah, with what? I ain't got a dime. You know what I mean? I spent all my money getting ready for this show.
Yeah.
So Mr. Zwick flew me out there, and we that's how our relationship started.
Oh,
and
okay.
He flew me out there, and I went to the Teen Nationals, and I won the Teen Nationals. And then after that, I said, okay, well, I mean, I only won my weight class because I was a lightweight.
Right.
You know,
right.
I wasn't big enough to win the overall. So I said, all right, next year I'm going to go back and hit the Teen USA and Nationals again because I want to win the overall titles.
Right.
And I did. I trained all year long. I put some weight on. I got up, you know, went up to a middleweight class. I remember I competed against Mr. Robinson, Eddie Robinson in the Teen USA.
Yeah.
He won the light heavyweight. I won the middleweight class. Yeah, now you're going to hear a crazy story. You're going to love this. And after I won the Teen USA, okay, this is my genetics, okay?
Okay.
I won the Teen USA. I beat Mr. Robinson. What a great physique he has. Man,
yeah.
That's a real legend of bodybuilding right there. I love that guy, man. We used to, you know, hassle each other in the magazines, but, man, that guy's a great guy. I really like Eddie Robinson.
Yeah.
So I beat him in the Teen USA. He went on later on and beat me, whooped my little butt, but that's all fun. So I had, like, I think it was, like, 14 weeks away or 12 weeks away. I don't know how long it was. To the Teen Nationals.
Okay.
I said, okay, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go home and I'm going to take a couple days off. And I'm going to, you know, start training. And I'm going to go to the Teen Nationals. And I'm going to win that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my 2 days off turned into 8 weeks. I didn't train for 8 weeks.
Wow. And how long of a break was it between the USA and the Nationals?
It was like, I remember that I hadn't worked out for 8 weeks. And it was like 6 weeks to the Teen Nationals.
Okay.
I didn't work out because I lived on the Jersey Shore, brother, and I was partying. I was going to the clubs. I was Mr. Teenage USA. I got VIP treatment. I was running around, partying my butt off with my brother. We were just, I mean, it was 8 weeks of alcohol and drugs and women. Right. That was my life back then.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I ain't worked out in 8 weeks. So could you imagine what happened to my physique?
Right.
Okay. I wasn't eating. I wasn't training. I lost my mass. Now, Mr. Zwick is, he's now kind of like helping me out, sponsoring me, helping me out with supplements and some food money and stuff. And he's calling me every week, asking me how my progress is going. And I'm lying to him, man. I'm like, yeah, it's going great. It's good. Because in my back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, I got time to get ready. I can do this.
Right.
Well, when he called me, it was like 6.5 weeks out. He called me and he said, hey, Frankel, how's it looking? And I started crying. He's like, why are you crying? I said, man, I blew it. He goes, what are you talking about? And I told him the truth. I said, man, I haven't worked out in 8 weeks. And there's no way in physical world I could come back and win this national show. There's no way possible. He goes, really? He goes, wow, you've been lying to me. I go, yeah, I've been lying to you. I'm sorry, Mr. Wuzwick. But you know who I had to go against? Sean Ray.
Sean Ray, right.
He was my middleweight competitor in my class. So this is how crazy my genetics was. So he hangs up the phone. He calls me back. He goes, listen, I'm putting you on a plane. You're flying to Cincinnati, and this guy, Mr. John Perot, is going to pick you up.
Hmm.
That's what happened. That's how I met John Perot.
I fly
to Cincinnati. John trains me, eats me, stuffs me full of supplements, trains my butt off 3 times a day. 6 weeks later, I beat Sean Ray in the team nationals after not working out for 8 weeks.
Wow.
Is that crazy?
That's crazy.
Beat one of the greatest bodybuilders ever.
Yeah. So what did Perillo do to you? What was his training like? What supplements?
Oh my gosh! Well, back then he didn't have Perillo Performance.
Okay.
He was working with what was it that Beverly International?
Yeah.
Basically,
yeah.
Their supplements and his supplements kind of were the same, I think. You know,
okay.
Perillo's are he's engineers. His are a step up.
Okay.
But he got me on all them supplements, and he just fed me he just fed me like a horse and trained me like a like an animal. I mean, our workouts were brutal.
Right.
I mean, brutal. But that was how I trained. I made sure that no one could train like I did. I trained harder than anybody. And I've trained with some of the greatest bodybuilders in the world in my time. And the only one when I met my match, the only bodybuilder that I stepped on that I met head to head with, and I'll say to this day, that man, I had to tap out, and I'm going to give him credit, is Richie Gaspari.
Really? Okay.
That man, I mean, we went head to head. We were doing a chest workout for an hour, 45 minutes.
Right.
And I'm like, this dude's not going to quit. And I'm like, I'm not going to quit.
Right.
You know, and finally, I looked over at Richie. I said, hey, man, you know, are you good? And he goes, he looked at me, he said, are you good? I said, I'm good. He goes, all right, dude, we're done.
So what did Perillo do? Was he just training to failure? Is that what his training philosophy
failure,
was?
Failure? What are you talking about? Failure? There's no such thing as failure, Perillo. He takes you to failure and beyond to the moon and back.
Right.
What I would do, like, I would go to failure. You know that book, A Mentor Wrote, Three More Reps?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, three more reps is a joke, man. It was 30, 40 more reps.
Wow.
I mean, it
crazy.
Was just nonstop. We was nonstop. It would be to failure 10 or 12 reps, and we break the weight to failure 10 or 12 more. It was crazy training. But John drilled that into me, and I took that. That's how I trained. He taught me that, and that's how my training always was. I mean,
right.
I went through training partners like I went through underwear. No one could hang with me. I just burned them out left and right. It was fun, though.
Yeah. Wow. So tell me about that team nationals then. That you went up against Sean Ray. How did Sean look?
Yeah, Sean Ray looked fantastic. He came in great shape. I remember I showed up there, and this is just the insanity of my drug addiction. My brothers met me at the show. It was the day before the show, and I scored an 8-ball.
Wow.
Okay? This is insane. I tell the truth today. I scored an 8-ball. I snorted an 8-ball before the night before the show, and, you know, I got on stage with him, and I must have been close because, you know, Sean Ray, I remember I looked at him like, wow, this is going to be tough, you know, so. But, yeah, he looked great, and the cool thing was that Sean Ray, man, what an amazing guy. He was just one of the – he just won Team California. He was so kind and nice. He invited me and my brothers out for pizza afterwards with his family.
Oh,
I remember
really?
That. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tell you, I mean, Sean Ray, he's an amazing, amazing guy. He not only is he a great bodybuilder, but as a person, Sean Ray, I'll tell you, I've talked to him not long ago. He's really a great guy. I love that guy.
Oh, that's cool. So, Frank, when did you start doing the drugs, the coke and stuff? When did that start? When you were just a teenager then, right?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what happened. It all started, see, I never, ever thought I would do a drug because in my heart, I was going to go to Notre Dame, play football. My goal, I was going to go to the NFL. And I think with the hard work I put into it, with the talent that I have, I did, really in my heart, I know I probably could have been a tailback in the NFL. I had tremendous speed and strength and ability. But at 13 years old, my mom and dad got divorced.
Yeah.
Drugs, I never even thought of drugs. Well, that's when my brokenness started. Mom and dad got divorced. My dad took off, left me, my mom, and my brothers. He went to Florida. He left us. And you know what, man? I was hurt. My dad left. My dad was my hero.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He just took off on me, and I was a broken cat. And, I mean, I remember there was a party going on. And I'm like, you know, they were smoking pot, and I was like, you know, hey, can I try that? And I tried it, and I never put the drugs down for 31 years. I stayed with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? When I smoked that pot, I got out of my head. It made me, like, kind of escape reality, and I went to another world. And I got in, and that's what I wanted. I didn't want to feel the pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, I became – and I did my first line of coke at 16 years old.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you a crazy story. When I went down to meet Eddie Robinson, this is how bad my addiction was. When I met – to go compete against Eddie Robinson, 18 years old, I took a plane to Florida and I drove down from Daytona to Miami. And my girlfriend that I had at the time, we snorted an 8-ball of coke down on the way to the show. I mean, that's insane, isn't it? Who does this?
It's crazy. Yeah, I never knew that.
Yeah, nobody knows that. It's all in my book. Every story I'm telling you, they're all in the book.
Wow. So
but
you
the book
win
is
the
a great book.
Yeah, I can't wait to read it. You win the Teen USA and the Teen Nationals in the same year, and everybody had to be talking about you because back then the magazines were a big deal. So I'm sure you got a lot of magazine publicity, and I'm sure a lot of photographers and promoters and stuff were coming up to you telling you how great you were, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember at 18 years old, I got a couple little, you know, I had a couple of nice little magazine spreads and some of the magazines. And
yeah.
Even always during my career, I was always like the first one, these photographers, even when I didn't win the USA or the Nationals in 88, they all wanted to photograph me because you know why? I wasn't the best that day, but I had that marketable look.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you had a great
physique. I had that Italian stallion. I was a very marketable bodybuilder. I sold a lot of magazines. They all wanted to get my pictures. So I was always like, they always got me first. And I had a lot of magazine covers, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, for sure.
I always tell people, I don't think I was the best bodybuilder, but I was very marketable. So the magazines, they loved to get a hold of me and get those photo shoots. But after the Team USA and Nationals won that, I think I took like a year off of working out. You know, I didn't even work out for a year. Just
really? Huh.
Yeah, that's what I did. I partied. Then I would decide to go in the team. I mean, not the team. I'm sorry, the men's Nationals, middleweight. I trained for that for maybe like 6 months and with a heavy cocaine addiction. And I took a fourth. Then I didn't work out for like, I mean, I guess I was probably 21. I won it at 24 to 18. I took a year off. I probably didn't work out for about a year and a half, almost 2 years.
Did you get any offers to come out to California after you won the Teen Nationals? Like, did anybody, you know, say, hey, why don't you come out to Venice and, you know, you can train here and live out here or anything?
I think I did. You know what? My memory's hazy.
Yeah,
I think I did, but you know what? I wasn't leaving New Jersey. I was connected in Jersey. I had I had a real serious girlfriend, my family, all my drug connections.
Right,
it was all there. I wasn't going nowhere.
Right. Because I know Richie, you know, Gaspari, after he was a teenager, I know Ed Connors made an offer to him to come out to California. So I was wondering if somebody did that to you.
Yeah, I remember I met Ed Connors. I actually stayed at his place I went out there for a photo shoot and I stayed at his place. He was a pretty cool cat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe, I don't remember if we talked about that or not, but yeah, I remember he was very generous, very kind, good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you do the Nationals then in 86, but like I said, you only trained for a few months for it, right?
Yeah, I think like 6 months, and then I got fourth. And I'm like, screw this, and I
Yeah.
went back to party. I go went back to partying, and
Oh,
I didn't pick
really?
up a
Well.
weight. I didn't pick up a weight. In fact, this is cool stories. I met this girl, and she was a very big achiever. She was a valedictorian in her school. She was cheerleading captain. We met. I hadn't worked out. I was in the worst shape of my life, and we met. She was an Indian, Asian Indian. And her
Okay.
parents were like, they wanted to arrange her marriage, and they wanted nothing to do with me. Okay,
Yeah.
so I mean, I was with this girl. She's going to school to be a pediatrician, and I'm like, wow, man, these people don't like me. I got to do something with my life. And I'm like, well, what can I do? You know what I mean? I'm like, well, hey, I know I got talent in bodybuilding. I'm gonna go get my pro card. That's what I said. You know what I mean? And I remember I started training. I only trained 1 year. 1 year after a 2 year break for the 88 USA and Nationals, and I took third in the USA and second in the Nationals to the legendary bodybuilder. He won the most pro shows. Vince Taylor.
Vince
Gosh,
Taylor,
I can't
yeah,
think of it.
88
Yeah,
National,
Vince
great.
Taylor, he beat me. Actually, I remember it was, I think I had like three first place votes in that show. I only trained 1 year for that show after a 2 year
Yeah.
break.
Wow, that's crazy. I remember
That's
you in the
crazy.
USA
Yeah.
because the USA, I remember you came in with no tan, but you could just see the raw potential you had. You were so thick and you had that great symmetry and stuff, and then you improved for the Nationals a couple months later, and then you got second, like you said, to Vince Taylor, and you came in much better at that show.
Yeah, well, I remember Ronel Janvier beat me and Ronnie Schwier. So I
Yeah,
mean, I remember I said,
you're
if I'm
right.
gonna, I know I can beat those guys. I just got to get leaner, tan, all this, and I
Yeah.
did. And I walked
Yeah.
into, I remember walking into the weigh-ins, and I'm like, who is this cat on the scale? I never seen him before in my life, because I was out of bodybuilding for a while. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know who Vince Taylor was. And I'm
Yeah.
looking at him on the scale, and I see these calves. I'm like, what the heck? And I kind of scoped them out. I'm like, oh boy, I'm in trouble. I might be waiting a year to get my pro card, another year. And sure as heck, he beat me that day. And there's another great guy, Vince Taylor. My gosh, he is an amazing person. I love him. He is an amazing person.
Yeah. So after taking second to Vince, were you really psyched up then for the next year?
I was, and I knew that. You know what? After, and I knew it was a close between me and Vince. He didn't smoke me. It was a close show. It was close. And I said, okay, I'm going to go back to the 88 USA, I mean the 89 USA, and I'm going to get my pro card. And I knew in my heart, and I stayed with the training, even though I was a full-fledged addict. I was smoking pot every day and drinking a lot, like on weekends. But during the week, I stayed hardcore training, but there was a lot of cocaine on the weekends. In fact, that finally broke up me and the relationship I had with that girl. It was my cocaine addiction.
How did that affect your training doing the coke like that?
Well, I never did it while I trained. Like I said, what I would do is I would train all week only under the influence of marijuana. I would eat, take my supplements, and it would be Friday night after my last workout, and I would go score, and I would get, probably an 8-ball coke and do it for a day and a half. I would disappear. I couldn't go home. My girl would kill me. So I'd go get a room. This was me. I would go get a hotel room and just by myself snort lines, and then I'd come
Damn.
back, and she always knew what I was doing, but she put up with it for a while. And then finally, after a while, there's that story's in the book too. I don't want to tell too many stories, huh?
No. Save some for
Right. Yeah.
the
Yeah.
book,
So yeah, I would do it on the weekends. So I limited it to the weekends. I never trained under it. I think I tried one time. I thought I was gonna have a heart attack. I never did it again.
right? Yeah. I hear stories about guys that did coke and stuff and trained, but I've never tried
Yeah.
it
No, I didn't
myself,
do
so.
that. I wasn't about that. I was more about like just, I don't know. I don't even want to get into that right now.
So did
I've
you
been
lose
delivered from
muscle
that
when you
stuff.
were doing that? Like if you trained all week, you did a good, you're following your diet, you just smoked pot and everything during the week, but then on the weekends you're doing the coke. Were you losing any muscle when you did that?
Well, I wouldn't eat, of course, for 12 hours or 15 hours, however long I was doing it. But then as soon as I would come off of it and go home, I just replenish my nutrients. So I don't really feel like I don't think I lost any muscle.
Plus you got those great
I mean,
genetics too.
I'll tell you what's one thing. God bless you with a, I was a genetic freak. I
Yeah.
mean, like I said, if see, you could hear of all this addiction in my life. Imagine if you took those drugs out of my life and
Yeah.
put in some serious cycles, never touched the ACE. I would have been Mr. Olympia, no doubt.
No doubt. Yeah, for sure.
No doubt. That's the potential I had. But you know what? That was never supposed to be. That was never supposed to happen for me, because I know me being an addict, I would have been addicted to winning, and I would have did whatever I had to do to stay on top, and that would have killed me.
Yeah.
I know it would have killed me. I would have died. But you know what? The life I have today, I've been set free 7 years ago, July 6, 2011. I have not touched a drug or anything. That's how long I've been sober and clean.
Wow,
and like I said,
amazing.
Today I'm a minister. I have a ministry. I'm an evangelist. I travel. I go to prisons. I go to rehabs. I'm going to start going to sporting events. I'm trying to get it to Arnold Classic this year. If I don't make it this year, I'm going to be the following year. I'll be there with the ministry.
Okay. Let me ask you about 89, because that was the year you went up against Eddie at the USA. And you said he took first, you took second. And I interviewed Eddie, and he told me about that matchup. That was a great matchup between you and him. That was a great contest.
Yeah, that stinker, man. You know, I tell you, we were playing with each other in the magazines.
Uh-huh.
This is how I look at it, and this is how I write it in my book. You know, we used to, like, Iron Man used to, like, I would say, I called him a Mack truck, and I called myself a Ferrari. There was no comparison.
Right.
He would come back at me in the magazines. It was friendly banter, but whenever we saw each other, we were buddies.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Eddie's problem, why he never could get it, is his condition. He was always massive, but I think Eddie thought in his head two things. Well, if I go down a light heavyweight, I'm going to be conditioned. And I'm going to beat that Santoro. I'm going to show him.
Right.
I'm going to teach him a lesson. That's
right.
What I always thought. And he did. He came down. I remember, I knew there was nobody who was going to beat me that year. Impossible. I knew who my competition was. And I sure didn't think it was going to be Eddie Robinson, because he was a heavyweight.
Yeah.
And I walked into the, and there again, I walk into weigh-ins, and I see him. I'm like, where's this guy doing in here? It's the wrong time. It's not heavyweight. Sure enough, I see him get on a scale, and he's a light heavyweight. I'm like, what in the world is this?
Right,
and
he told
I was
me
like,
that story.
Oh boy, man, here we go.
Yeah.
So you know, it was a close show. I remember I was watching, I was looking at some of the film, because I'm using some of that film on my website.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I got an awesome website, Jacked Up for Jesus. You could go to francosministry.com or .org, and you could check out the website. There's a lot of bodybuilding stuff in my gallery and some videos. There's actually a video of me and Eddie posing down. It was an amazing pose down.
Yeah,
but he got me that day. God bless him. He got me that day.
Yeah. He told me a story. I interviewed him for this show, and he told me a story the night before the contest. You came and knocked on his door, and you guys just hung out. You smoked a cigarette, and he was doing his tobacco in his mouth, and you guys just hung out the night before the show.
Yeah.
That's wild.
That's cool. I mean, like I said, I mean, he's a great guy, Eddie. He really is.
Yeah.
I do. I like Eddie a lot. He's a great guy. Yeah. I was friendly with all those guys. I never had any beef with any bodybuilders. The only person I had a beef with was myself, because I continually sabotaged my success.
Yeah, he had some good things to say about you, too, when I talked to him. So it sounded like you guys had a great relationship, even though you had a great rivalry, too, between the two of you.
Yeah, it was a great rivalry. It was good. It was good for the magazines. Loved it.
Yeah, it was great back then, because you had the great amateur rivalry. You know, nowadays you don't see that anymore, because we don't have the magazines anymore. So that's a big part of it. Plus, they give out so many pro cards now. You know, back then there was only like one or two.
Oh my gosh, they hand out pro cards like candy.
I know. So you really had to earn it back then.
Back in my day, the only way you can get a pro card was win the overall USA or your weight class in the Nationals or the overall North America.
Yep. So that's six.
So they actually
six pro
out,
cards a year.
You know,
Yeah.
And the lightweight and the middleweights, they didn't really, you didn't really see them.
Mm-hmm.
Except, one of my friends, Jimmy Canyon, he was a middleweight. He was a beast. He's still friends of mine today. He lives around me, Jimmy Canyon. He's a good guy.
Yeah. So then you go to the Nationals later that year, Franco, and you win. You win the light heavyweights, and that's where you got your pro card. You beat out Al Q Gurley. You beat out Porter Cottrell, Ronnie Schweier. You beat out Flex Wheeler.
Flex Wheeler?
Yeah. Yeah,
I think that was the deepest class ever of talent.
Yeah.
It was deep. I remember that. I remember when I seen these guys, and I was like, wow. Wow. But you know what? I mean, it was close, but me and Al Q and Porter, I think that year what it was is I had the symmetry, I had the mass. My condition wasn't better than the other two guys, but I think with the size I was carrying, the symmetry, and I paid my dues, I got my pro card that year. I remember that.
You had a great pulls
down. That was a great feeling. That was
Zuccolato too, right? You had a great pulls down for the overall at Zuccolato.
Yeah, Troy's a good guy, but I think I got gypped there. I think I should have got that overall. It's okay. It doesn't matter today. I don't care.
Right. So then
and then
what
I
were
remember
your
we
feelings?
Went out to go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say, what were your feelings after you won the Nationals? Because now you got your pro card. So I was wondering what you were thinking then.
Oh, I was ecstatic. I was like, finally, I got a career. You know what I mean? This is it. I can start. I mean, even as an amateur, I was getting some guest appearances and I got some magazine covers and stuff. But I knew once I turned pro that I was going to get some kind of a break, maybe sign with Weider or I didn't even pro. I didn't have a supplement line then. I didn't know what was going on. And that's a story that's in my book. Oh my gosh. I mean, that was a heartbreaking story. So anyway, I could tell you, Cybergenics, they were using my pictures without my consent on some of their products.
Okay.
This is how I got my Cybergenics deal. And I found out and I saw it. So I went storming in the office. I'm like, dude, you guys are using my pictures. See, I did a photo shoot for them, but I never signed the model release they gave me that day. And they're like, oh, no, you signed a model release. I'm like, bull crap. I didn't sign nothing. I want to be paid for these pictures. Mm-hmm. And they sent me down to Chinnery's office. Chinnery's, he was at his house, Scott Chinnery, the owner of Cybergenics. So I ran down to his house. I was pissed. I'm like, you guys, this is bull. You're using my pictures. You know, you can't do this. This is my, you know. And he said, you know, we're talking this and that. And he says, hey, you have any pictures of when you were out of shape? Because they knew that I had been really out of shape. And I got ready for it in a couple of years. And he goes, you have any old pictures of when you were out of shape? And I'm like, dude, I just want to get paid. I don't want to go. What are you talking about? Well, finally, he's like, hey, go get those pictures and bring them back. I was like, well, whatever, man. If that's going to get me my money today, you know, I'll do it. I ran home, got found these before and after pictures of myself. I mean, not after, but these before
the
pictures
before.
That were taken of me right when I was out of shape. And I brought them back to his house. And I remember when I got back there, he laughed at me. He goes, well, you know, you could try to sue me because I told him I was going to sue him. I wanted $1,500 compensatory reimbursement. He goes, you could try to sue me. He goes, man, my lawyers, yeah, they'll eat you alive. Or look, I got a contract here for you. And he had a $5,000 check. He goes, here's $5,000 and a contract. You say you say that you took, this was you before Cybergenics and this is you after. And then, like I said, I saw money, I saw drugs. I was like, wow. Immediately, I forgot about all the hard work Perillo and me did together in those last 2 years. There was a Perillo-Santarello connection. That man engineered my success. His nutrition, his training principles, everything. But you know what? And here's the hard part. The day after I signed that contract with Cybergenics, Perillo's lawyer called me up. He said, hey, Franco, John's going public with a line of supplements, and he wants you to be his face of Cyber. He wants you to be the face of Perillo. I was like, what? Man, I started bawling, crying. I wasn't even thinking about Perillo. You know what I mean? I was so lost when I saw that money. I was like, oh my gosh, no. You know what I mean?
Man.
And it was too late. It was too late.
For those of our listeners that don't know, Cybergenics was a big supplement company, and they were one of the first ones to do the before and after pictures. And they had a big marketing campaign with you, and they were using, like you said, your before pictures when you were really out of shape, and then your after pictures. And this was right after you got your pro card.
That supplement company, that lie, that before that, they weren't the largest supplement company in the world. They were just a supplement company. But that lie, he spent millions of dollars marketing that transformation, that big lie, and made them the largest supplement company in the world. They went ahead of Weider. Okay, they were the number one company in the world off of my lie. My lie.
Yeah.
Okay, I had to live with that. I have to but you know what? That's why I said today, this book is before and after. It shows a real transformation. A real human transformation done by the living God and the power of the Holy Spirit. You should see, when you see the cover of my book, you go to my website when you get off of this thing, you'll say, wow, that's a real transformation. And it was what God did in my life today. And I'm so glad to be alive today to tell people about the love, hope, and victory that we do have in our Savior Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you told that story, Franco, because I did hear stories that you were using drugs and stuff, but I really didn't know what was going on. And, you know, I didn't know you went to prison, so I didn't know all that stuff.
Yeah, I went to prison for 3 years.
Wow. And that was just from drugs.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Huh? From drugs, yeah. I mean, they finally got me. I got locked up for what I did. But I'll tell you one thing. My life today is 1,000 times greater than any life I had before this life today. I got the most amazing wife, gorgeous, not dead, hardworking, God-loving, God-fearing wife. You'll mm-hmm. see a picture of her on my website. We have a very, very successful business, which is very prosperous and lucrative, and it was able to get our ministry funded to get us started. Now we have people in the ministry world that want to partner with us, what we're doing, because our heart, they see this ministry and they see this story, you know, mm-hmm. this before and after story of, man, this guy was on top of the world. He was one of the best in this world. And then I went from being on top to being so broken that, like I said, I was unemployable, homeless, and suicidal. Then I got thrown in prison after dying twice. You can't get no lower than that, brother.
Really? Unbelievable. So how did you
life that I have today.
How did you find God, Franco? Was that in prison? When did all that happen?
Well, I'll tell you what. When I was 24 years old, I just got my pro card. Okay. I was raised in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Okay? I knew God. I didn't have a relationship with God, but I knew who he was. You know what I mean? He was this guy that died on a cross. That's mm-hmm. all I really knew about him. And he did that for me. I kind of, you know, I didn't know this intimate relationship you can have with Jesus. So my brother, he gets, you know, he goes to this church, he gets saved, you know, he finds out that, because we were all raised Catholic, but the Catholic Church doesn't teach you about salvation. Mm-hmm. They just have these, you know, I think, I don't know, I'm not sure what they think. I mean, I don't have anything against Catholic people. Actually the Catholic Church today is a big reformation. The Catholic Church is becoming born again today. They're all finding out that there's more to it than just going to church and doing good, that you got to have this intimate relationship with Jesus. And there's a lot of people in the Catholic Church that are actually getting born again today. Anyways, my brother drags me to church, I'm in this church, and they're talking about Jesus and heaven and hell. I'm like, yeah, man, I'm going straight to hell. The way I've been living, I was like, there's no way I'm going to go to heaven. But then they said, hey, you don't got to go to hell. They showed us that Jesus died for my sins. So then that day, I'm like, well, man, yeah, man, I know about God. I don't want to go to hell. I want Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So I ran up to that call, that altar on God, and I accepted Jesus in my heart. But you know what? I didn't surrender that day. I didn't make him my Lord. I just made him my Savior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I stayed with that addiction for something 20-something more years.
Wow. Unbelievable.
So that's how I got introduced to Jesus. Mm-hmm. When I was in prison, man, I'm telling you, my whole book right here, people don't even want to buy it. So when I was in prison, I was in there 6 weeks, and I had already been hospitalized for suicide. My dad took his life from suicide. It's, you know, there's bipolarism runs in my family. He took his life.
Okay.
And my dad was a beast. So now I'm in prison at the lowest. I've lost everything. I've lost my family. I was so physically broken, I couldn't even do a push-up. I mean, this was Mr. America one day. I mean, there's some stories in that book that'll blow your mind about the things I went through.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in prison. I've been in there about 6 weeks. I got off all my mental meds because they had me on them when I got in there, but I didn't want to. It's a long story short. I had a mental breakdown in prison, became very suicidal again. And
okay.
I'm in prison, and I was so depressed and full of anxiety. All I could think about is how I could take my life.
Mm-hmm.
This is the turning point in my life, brother. This is where it all turned around.
Okay.
I remember I laid in my rack. I was in prison in my rack, so broken. All I wanted to do was, how can I end my life? And in my that moment, I laid in my rack for 6 weeks with my head under a blanket, scared to death. Okay. And I said to God, I said, look, you know what? I know that you're real. I get that. But see, where I'm at right now, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
And I cried out, and this is what it was. I cried out. I said, God, help me. Please, I can't do this another day. And at that moment, something happened. I said, Lord, I surrender. I'm done. Please, come rescue me. I remember this clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the turning point in my life. That day, when I read, and then, I mean, there's a, and how God rescued me is, I mean, do you want to hear that story? Or do you want to wait until people buy the book and read it? But that's
okay.
Where it started.
All right. Okay. All right.
You mean I rescued? What happened is the Lord, he led me to the Word of God. I started reading the Bible, and immediately God started speaking to me. He goes, man, I created you. You know about exercising. And he led me to the gym. And in the gym, in prison for 2.5 years, all I did was study God's word and work out. I was the most broken person in that prison when I got there. I was probably the weakest guy. I went from being the strongest one, the most powerful man in the world, to one of the weakest. 9 months later, God transformed me, and I was running that prison. I was running fitness programs. I was doing it, man. I was turning lives around. I turned my life around, and I was helping people turn their lives around. And that's where God gave me my vision in prison. That, you know what? I didn't create you to be the best bodybuilder in the world. I created you for me, but I let you become great so you can use that as a platform later on in your life and tell this story of how I rescued you, and that there is hope, that there is love, and that there is victory in me.
Wow. Mm. What an amazing story. What is your website now if people want to get this book?
Okay. My website is jackedupforjesus.com, but it's spelled funny. But okay. if you go to Franco's Ministry, okay. F-R, you know, spell Franco with a C, francosministry.org, okay. or .com, it'll take you to my Jacked Up for Jesus
okay.
website.
Right.
Okay. You spell it J-A-C-K-D, no E, J-A-C-K-D,
okay.
U-P, the number 4, Jesus.com.
Okay.
That's why
okay.
I say, if you go to francosministry.com or .org, it'll take you right to my jackedupforjesus.com. And there's a lot of cool videos on there. There's some stories on there, me talking about this box story and my talk about bodybuilding. There's some great pictures and videos of bodybuilding. And it talks about the ministry a little bit. And then also, hey, I also have on social media, Facebook, the mm-hmm. Jacked Up for Jesus Facebook page.
Okay.
I would love for people to follow that page. And that's spelled Jacked Up for Jesus, like I told you, J-A-C-K-D-U-P, the number 4, Jesus. That's on Jacked Up for Jesus. That's my Facebook page and Instagram.
All right.
I would love for people to like that and follow it, because there's some amazing things this ministry is doing, Franco Central is doing today for the kingdom of God. It's not about me no more. It's all about him. And I've given my life. He gave his life for me, so I've gave my life for him.
All right. I'll definitely follow you on Facebook on those pages, and I appreciate the offer to read the book. And I appreciate your interview with me today, Franco. Like I said, I've looked up to you for a long time. I obviously knew who you were. You were one of the greatest bodybuilders in the 80s. And you had that fantastic genetic shape. And I always wondered what happened to you, because I hadn't heard from you in a while. So when I saw you on Facebook, I'm glad we got to connect and then do this interview, because it was a great story.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm so
All right.
glad I got to tell the truth.
Yeah, I'm
people
glad.
People always ask, they always, you know, whatever happened to Franco? Well, now they know.
Right.
They know. Now they know what I'm doing today. And
yeah.
I really would love for people to follow my ministry and share with what I'm doing today.
All right. I'm glad we got to talk to you. I'm glad we got to hear your story.
Praise the Lord. All right. Well, hopefully I'll see you soon at a fitness event.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll see you at the Arnold.
Yeah. If not this year, 100% next year, the 2020.
Okay. That sounds great, Franco.
I'm trying
Thank
to
you.
Get there this year. I'm trying to finagle it to get there this year, though.
All right, buddy. That sounds great.
All right, buddy. You take care.
Okay, thanks,
buddy.
Franco.
Thank you very much. God bless
take
you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
You too. All right, thanks for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Thank you to Franco Santoriello for that great interview. And I want to thank Old School Labs and Florida Alternative Medicine for sponsoring this episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. We will see you guys next week for another episode. And everybody have a great Thanksgiving this week. Take care.